sometimes because of the cares of life. It knocks our spirits into a spiritual coma. But thanks be to God that we serve a God who has the power to shake us again. Oh, come on, let's let him do it this morning. Let him wake you up in the anointing.
Shake us again, only you can. Shake us again, only you can. Shake us again.
Early in the morning, before the break of day, take your loving hand and shake us again. Shake us with your glory, bright as the morning sun. Lord, don't forsake us, but shake us again.
Shake us again, only you can. Shake us again,
oh glory,
shake us again. Shake us again, only you can. Shake us again.
I feel like Job, broken asunder, shaken to pieces, set up for the mark. But Lord, you know what's best to get us through our tests, and we won't rebel
as you shake us again.
Break of day, take your loving hand and shake me again. Shake me with your glory, bright as the morning sun. Lord, don't forsake me, but shake me again.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God, for the shaking that you are bringing forth in our spirits, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord. We praise you. We bless you. We honor the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are more than just our Savior, but you are our Lord. And we begin to know you in the righteousness of you, in the holiness of you, Lord God. Hallelujah. God, you are requiring holiness from your people. Hallelujah. You said that you will work in us, and he that began a good work in us will complete it. So, Lord God, we know that you are drawing us to a place of holiness, Lord God. You didn't save us from sin to leave us sinners. So, Lord God, we come before you on today as a holy people saying, thank you. Thank you for your mercy and your grace and your kindness, Lord God, because you have overlooked our iniquities. Hallelujah. You did not mark our iniquities. You did not mark us for judgment, Lord God, but you marked us as vessels of mercy for your salvation, Lord God. And now that we are saved, we owe you our yes, our complete yes, our life, oh God. Help your children, Lord God, as we engage in the battle, Lord God, the fight, the good fight of faith, Lord God, to continue to walk in your ways, Lord God. Help us and assist us, strengthen us, encourage us. Hallelujah, Lord God, I praise you. Your anointing is real, Lord God. Your truth is on point, Lord God, and we submit to the truth of your word. We submit to you, Lord God, knowing nothing in and of our own selves, Lord. Everything we think we have, everything we think we've obtained, we lay it at your feet right now, and we say, shake us again, Lord God, as in the words of the song. Hallelujah, because when you begin to shake us, everything that is not like you has to come out, Lord God. You sift us, Lord God. We ask you to sift us, that nothing remains that is not of you, God. Every false impartation, Lord God, be broken off, Lord God. But the truth remains. Hallelujah. The truth remains. Lord, I bless you and I thank you for your presence. Hallelujah. God, we're not going to try to conjure up your presence, Lord God, but we understand that your word says, and we believe it. Your word says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there also in the midst. So, Lord God, we know there's more than two or three gathered here listening on today, and we know you're in the midst, Lord God, and we're not here to receive anything from man, but God, I am a vessel that you will flow through, but it is all for your glory, Lord God. I submit myself. I humble myself, and I say, Father, have your way. Speak through me. Let no error proceed, Lord God, but let your truth flow out freely, Lord God. I pray right now that you would allow your word to have free course in our hearts. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Hallelujah. Lord God, I thank you that you are adding comfort to somebody's body, Lord God. Lord, where the enemy comes to attack and to bring discomfort and dis-ease, Lord God, where he comes to try to make the way hard, I pray right now healing, Lord God, and comfort. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Well, thank God for all those who are calling in, listening to this broadcast in this hour. My name is Minister Sir Ryan Davis. This is the Exalting Jesus broadcast on the Now Network Radio. To God be all the praise. I honor everyone who has called in, all the leaders and associates that offer their insights throughout the week on their various broadcasts on this network that are here today, and to all the lambs of God, the sheep of God that are calling in to hear the word and receive what the Lord will say through this vessel. To God be the praise. You are honored. You are appreciated. We love you. And it's about kingdom at this point in time. It's not about any of us. Never was about any of us. But may God get the glory through the things you will hear on today. Hallelujah. May God get the glory through the things that he will reveal. Not only that will be said, but as the speaker is speaking, the Holy Spirit is speaking and revealing more to the hearers. The thing about God, when God speaks, when a vessel is yielded and the Holy Ghost flows and the word of God is flowing through an individual, the word of God is so rich that he's speaking to multiple people on multiple levels. Hallelujah. So when God begins to open the mouth of a person and they're speaking, it's not just like a stream of water, like in a straight line, like a jet stream. It's not like that, but it's more like a rain. He says that his word is like the rain that waters the earth, and it will not return to him void. So when God begins to speak, He's speaking to everybody that is present to be hearing it. He's speaking on different levels. It's like when it rains, it can rain and cover one piece of ground and another piece of ground and another can cover a whole city or a whole state. And the whole ground is water because God is trying to produce something. Watch this. So when God begins to speak through a vessel, when the anointed word is proceeding, when it's proceeding out, then God is trying to feed someone or to produce something later. Hallelujah. So the word of God is rich and it's powerful all by itself. The Bible declares, how can man hear without a preacher? How can one preach except he be sent? So in the dimension of being sent, there's when the word of God begins to flow freely. Father, I pray right now, Lord, that I would just be more in tune with you, even at this very moment. Lord, hallelujah, Lord God, we'll wait on you. We'll slow down and we'll wait and tune in clearly for the frequency of God. Hallelujah. Because we can study the word, we can know the word, we can know what needs to be said or what should be said, but ultimately obedience is the key to success in anything dealing with God. Obedience is the key, and our obedience is we will say what he's delivering. He's delivering the word, and we're just like a pipeline that he delivers through. So it has to be what God wants to say. He knows every heart. He knows what you're thinking at the moment you call in. Whenever you step into a service or you call on one of these lines and it feels like the word is coming directly for you, that's because the Holy Spirit is talking directly to you. I can't see you. I don't talk to whoever's on the other end to know who's calling in or what to say, but the Holy Ghost knows. So we have to get in a position now to flow, because that's some things that God wants to reveal to you. Now, I know the Holy Spirit has been dealing with me and revealing things to me that I want to share, but I can only share these things as he allows or as he gives it. And there's so much that has been shared with me and revealed to me lately. But one thing that I want to speak today about is victory and spiritual warfare. I want to talk about that because a lot of times in the body of Christ, have your way, Holy Ghost. A lot of times in the body of Christ, we are done a disservice by not being taught on specific subjects. Now, we can only be taught as the Spirit reveals. That's all we can receive. Anything else, if we try to receive anything else, then it's going to lead to error. But, oh, glory, when the Holy Spirit is into revealing something, then that means there's something he says you ought to know. And if he's saying you ought to know it and he reveals it, then it's up to you, it's up to me, it's up to us to receive it. This week, I said a couple of things and I didn't even understand why I said it until today. I made a post on social media about preparation saves lives. I woke up out of my sleep with that, you know, ringing in my spirit one day, and I was like, "Wonder what this is about, Lord? Why would I put that?" But today it was made to be understood why. It's made to be understood why. See, you always are going to get the lesson before you get the test. So God's always preparing you for what's coming. Let me tell you something. In the spirit realm, there are things that are like just like they are in the natural. In the natural world, everybody's not in the military, but there's your people that are soldiers, and then there are your people that are civilians. And oftentimes, the soldiers are not comprehended by the civilians. But they fight for your freedom that you enjoy in the natural. In America, you got the Coast Guard, you got the U.S. military, you got the Army, the Marines, the Air Force, and the Navy, and then you got the Secret Service and the other levels of government and military that we don't even hear about, the secret operations. But you got those people that fight, that go into warfare, and they do things that we don't know about. We have no expertise or no knowledge of their lifestyle because we live in the civilian freedoms. In the spirit realm, there are people who have been selected for warfare. Now, here's the thing about it. When you're born into Christ, when you're born again, you are born into something spiritual. Understand there's battles and wars going on in the spirit realm constantly, and it's over the souls of men. There's a reality that many times we're not aware of, and many times we're kept from it because we're not ready to deal with certain things. So everybody's not going to go into warfare at the same time. Everybody's not going to be a soldier or utilize things of the spirit at certain times in their walk because they are just now coming into the faith. So help me, Holy Ghost. So there are people who are like civilians. They enjoy the freedoms and everything, but there's somebody that's on the front line that's not enjoying those freedoms, but they're fighting, wrestling with something greater than you recognize, something you may not be aware of, something that is stronger than what we understand in our carnal understanding. And these people have to wrestle with certain things and go into warfare on behalf of other people. This is what the intercessors are all about. And when you hear the word intercessory prayer, we throw that around a lot on this Now Network. So if you don't really understand, intercessory prayer means to stand in the gap for someone. In other words, you're in the line of fire. There may be warfare coming toward you, and you're unaware of it. You're oblivious to the fact that the enemy is trying to knock you over and destroy you, but there's somebody covering you in prayer. Well, that's warfare, and you haven't engaged or entered into it yet for some of you because you're like a civilian. You're still young. You're not even fit for war yet. But there's preparation. See, let me tell you something. In Israel, when we look at things from an American Western point of view, worldview. In America, you get to choose, I'm going to be in the military or I'm not. But in other countries like Russia and Israel, everybody got to serve in the military at some point in time in their life. Okay, and I believe in Israel, everybody has to serve in at least 2 years as a citizen. In places like certain European countries, all the men, every man that's born is automatically drafted into the military forces. Okay? So in the spirit realm, God doesn't take everybody directly into warfare. But there's a day coming. The Bible speaks of it, and it's called the evil day. And that's where I'm going to start out at. Go with me to Galatians, the book of Galatians, chapter 6. Chapter 6, excuse me, I'm in the wrong book. It's Ephesians chapter 6, not Galatians, Ephesians chapter 6, verse number, let's see here, verse number 13, it says, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand therefore." Now I'm going to stop right there for a minute before I go into all of the articles of the clothing. And notice what he says here. He says to take the whole armor of God. You can't go half-cocked. You got to have it all on you. You got to put it all on you. You got to understand how this works and why it's there. Preparation. I told you, preparation saves lives. If you go into battle unprepared, you will be a casualty. And let me tell you something. This battle that I'm talking about is real. I don't care how some people try to dress it up and talk it one way and preach it another way. This Bible is right. And I'm going to show you line upon line. So this Bible is telling us what it is. But he says, "Wherefore take unto you." It's a personal responsibility. You got to take it. The whole armor of God. Some of you, maybe things have been happening recently, and you say, "Why is this happening in my life?" Spiritual warfare. That's why. Because God is now beginning to train you, even through hardships, even though it seems like God, the devil tell you God is mad at you and God ain't for you because all the evil that's going on in your life. But the evil is coming from the evil one. But he's showing you how to withstand against it. He says, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. The evil day, that's a common thing. When he says the evil day, that means you got an evil day, I got an evil day, they got an evil day, he got an evil day, she got an evil day. There's a day coming, if you ain't already endured it, there's a day you're going to have to fight against some things. There's a day you're going to have to defend yourself. And God says you can't defend yourself in your own rights, in your own mind, in your own merit, but you got to put on the armor of God. Not the armor of flesh. You can't do it nobody's way, but the way this Bible is telling us and what the Holy Ghost reveals. Watch this. He says, put it on that you may be able to stand in the evil day. Then he says, stand therefore, having done all. He says, having done all to stand, stand therefore. Often we interpret this to say, after you did all that you can, just stand. That's not what it says. That's not what it says. He says, and having done all, comma, to stand. So he's telling you, having done all to stand, in other words, having made preparation for your stand, to withstand against the evil day, the evil one that's coming to bring this day upon you. He said, in order to stand, you got to do all. What is all? What is the all he's really saying that we have to do? Well, he's getting ready to explain that. He already said, put on the whole armor of God. Before you ever go after the enemy, you got to know he's coming after you, and you got to be covered. You got to know how to cover yourself in the armor of God. He says, take unto you the armor of God. God's not going to throw it at you. He's not going to drop it out of heaven on you. He's not going to just magically poof and bind you up into the armor of God. He said, you got to put it on. Having done all to stand, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth. I'm in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14 right now. Having therefore your loins girt about with truth. The first thing he says to put on is the belt of truth. Having put on your loins the belt of truth, or your loins girt about with truth. In other words, you got to know the scriptures. You got to know the truth that's in these scriptures, but it's got to be a hallelujah. It's got to be illuminated by the Holy Ghost. It's got to, that means there's a level of hunger you got to have for the truth. And then you put that in your spirit. That means you got to get rid of how you see the word. And you got to pray, Holy Ghost, show this word to me. Yeah, I'm preaching that, y'all. Somebody got the mindset, sound like you preaching at us. You got to do, I am. I am preaching at you because this is preparation. Hallelujah. Watch this. If you join the military, the drill sergeant's not going to be like, well, everybody, we need to get ready. They're going to talk to you rough because you get ready to endure something rough, and they can't play with you. I can't play with nobody's soul. Like, this is a commission on our lives to teach this word, to speak this word, and it's got to come forth the way the Holy Spirit wants it delivered. Watch this now. Hallelujah. He says, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth. The truth must surround you. The loin area is the midsection of the body. That's where your belt will go upon you, in your waist area, and all of your reproductive system is encompassed into your loin area. Okay? In that part of you, the reason that's got to be covered with truth is because the truth reproduces more truth. The more you desire and know the word, the more God will reveal to you, and it becomes reproductive. When you take a lie into your spirit, then the lie starts to reproduce. And before you know it, you go from one level of deception to another. But God wants us to go in the way of truth because the truth protects you. Listen, watch this. Let me rewind to the very beginning real quick, and then I'll get back into the warfare stuff. Adam and Eve were created and put here with dominion over all of the creatures that God put on earth, including the serpent. Okay, the Bible says in Genesis 3, it says, now the serpent was more subtle than any of the beasts of the field that the Lord God had made. So the Lord God made the serpent also. Yet he comes and he tricks them, or he tricks the woman. And then the woman, causes the man to yield to what she was saying, and then they all went against God. But God made them with so much power. They had authority on earth that he told them, every creature, I give you dominion over the earth and every living creature in it. They had power. They had authority. They had dominion. But they yet was not wise. Not because they didn't have the mind of God. They just had so much innocence and that they began to listen to the wrong voice. Watch this. They had power, all the power in the world to be exact. They were the rulers of this planet. But yet the serpent comes and he tricks the woman. How? She had dominion. The Bible says God blessed them both and God gave them dominion. So she had dominion just like Adam. She could have told the serpent, get under my feet. Adam could have done the same thing, but neither of them took authority and used it. Why? Because there was something that they did not recognize. They did not perceive. Now, Jesus comes and tells his disciples something. He said, be as wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. In other words, there's some stuff you need to know. If you're going to be as wise as your enemy, you got to outsmart the enemy, but you can't be corrupted and evil like him. So be harmless as a dove. See, the Holy Spirit, he's not coming to harm anybody, but to draw you to a place of safety. And that's the blood of Jesus. Jesus is your safekeeping. He's your savior. Watch this. The enemy was so smooth that he came in and tricked the woman with the word of God. It's what he did. He asked her, yeah, have God said? The first thing he said in Genesis. So he got her to talk in the word. And then she didn't esteem it high enough that she got to listening to what he had to say. Watch this. She got to listening to what he had to say, and it took her mind off of what God had already told her through her husband. Women, y'all got to listen to your husband. That's the high priest of the house. Watch this. Now, if he don't know God, then you got to be praying for him to get in his position. That's a side note, but let me get back onto this. So, in Genesis, they got tricked. It wasn't that Satan came and overpowered them. He didn't come and bind them up with his power. He didn't have no authority or power over them until they listened to the lie. Here's the key right here. They listened to the lie, and that's what opened up their loin area. Their reproductive system was now open. Why? How do I know that? When you read what happened in Genesis, God spoke to them in Genesis 3, around about verse 15, he begins to tell the serpent, he says, that I will put enmity between thee and the woman and between thy seed and her seed. And her seed shall bruise the head of thy seed, and his head he shall bruise the heel of her seed. So in other words, he's talking about a battle between two seeds, reproduction. So the devil was looking at getting a seed. He was looking at reproducing. And all he did was told a lie to get them out of position. Once he moved the woman out of position and she was able to move her husband out of position, then it didn't matter how much dominion and power that God had invested in them. They lost it because they were out of position. They were out of position of authority. They were out of position of power. And this is what the enemy comes to do. He doesn't come to overpower you. He comes to make you give up your power. It makes it easy for him to bind you once you give up your power. See, once Eve believed the lie, she took of what God told her, do not eat. God told her, do not eat. Here was the issue, and then I'm going to get back to Ephesians. God told Eve what to do, but he didn't tell her directly in her ear. Some people don't hear God because they feel like they don't hear God because he ain't speaking directly to them. But I said earlier in the message, how can you hear without a preacher? Sometimes your hearing is by listening to the voice of the Spirit that's flowing through the vessel. See, Eve was told by her husband that God said, don't eat it. And because it wasn't given directly to her, she didn't feel like, well, maybe I can get my own revelation. I can get something deeper. You got to be careful with that. Got to be careful with that. We got to know what voices to listen to, and that's the voice of God, but who he speaks through. We have to recognize God holds us accountable to knowing his voice regardless of who he's speaking through, recognizing his spirit regardless of what it's flowing in and who it's flowing through. God can use anything and anybody to get information to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But in this setting, in that particular scripture, God told Adam, he clearly commanded the man. He said, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, or you're going to surely die in that day. Then the man tells his wife, and then the wife is doubting it, and she begins to talk to the snake. She begins to talk to the serpent, and he begins to cause her to feel like there's something more that God kept from you and got her out of position. So watch this. The lie always removes the truth from your spirit to cause more lies to be perpetuated. How do we know that? Because the next thing she does is she gives him to eat. Genesis 3 and 17, God tells the man, because you listen to the voice of your wife. So something she said caused Adam to believe in what she had to say, not what God had already told him. So now he gave up the revelation that God gave him. She gave up the revelation that God gave her through him. And they were all going in the wrong direction. Watch this. They did not adhere to the voice of truth. This opened them up. The loin area was opened up. The first thing they gave birth to was Cain, and we know what he did. But they were supposed to be fruitful and multiply. Now, before they sinned, they were sinless. They were created to live forever. So that means if they had been doing those things before they fell into sin, they would have had children who would have been born in righteousness. There would have been no murder. There would have been none of these things we see going on. But now sin had entered the world, and it's got to run its course. And God had to do something about it. That's why he gave us Jesus to bring us back to him. But you still see sin in the world. You still see evil in the world. Now, Jesus didn't say be like Adam and Eve before the fall. All these folks trying to go back to the way it was before the fall. Well, let's get back to Eden. Baby, Eden is done away with. We're trying to get to Jesus now. The Bible says that the pure in heart shall see the Lord. We're trying glory. We're trying to see him. We're not trying to look back to the way things were, because there's nothing there for us. That was a done deal. Now, they messed it up, and God says, I'll restore order through truth in my son, but that's it. You got to get into him now. Now, in Jesus, we're not looking to go back to the way it was in Eden. He didn't say be like Adam and Eve. He said be as wise as serpents and harmless as doves. That's what Jesus taught. In other words, now there's things you need to know, and you need to know in truth. In truth, because the truth is the first thing he tells them that they got to have. Have your loins girt about with truth. Okay. Next thing he says, I'm going back to Ephesians 6 and 14. He says, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Watch this. Righteousness. Here he's not talking about just I'm clothed in the righteousness of God. He's not just talking about, well, God saved me through Jesus' finished work on the cross. I believe in him, and therefore I am declared righteous in him. That's not what he's talking about. That's the first step. You can't save yourself. You know, our works are not going to amount to anything when it comes to our salvation, to obtaining salvation. You obtain salvation purely based on the works that Jesus Christ did on the cross. And his not just in the cross, but him going into the grave and resurrecting with all power in his hands. That's what saves you. That's the entry into the kingdom. Believing that, confessing that, getting baptized into Christ. Now, once you are born again, once you're saved, righteousness is not just God put righteousness on you. Because if he put it on you and in you, then it should be producing. It should produce righteous behavior. But what he's talking about here is doing the right thing. Living in a righteous manner. Somebody said, well, you preaching works. No, I'm telling you the truth. Listen, when you don't live right, this is why the preachers tell us to live holy, the God-sent preachers. Any preachers that are not for the holiness of God, run from them. I don't care how eloquently they can preach grace. If they only give you grace, they're not giving you the full of this covenant that Jesus died for. My Bible tells us that Jesus brought grace and truth. So the grace is there to bring you into the truth. It'll reach you while you're in the lie, but it's bringing you out of the lie into the truth. And a lot of people get mad at the truth. They can only roll with you when you're giving them grace. Yeah, God forgives you. Jesus loves you. Oh, the blood of Jesus saves and washes. All that's true. That's true, but that's only part of the story. The other half of the story is you got to live right. Why? Why do you got to live right? Because when you commit sin, thank you, Holy Ghost, when you commit sin, I'm not talking about being born into sin. We all was born sinners. All of us was born in the flesh as sinners. That's why you got to be born again. But when you commit a sin act, every sin act we commit opens a door in the spirit world. It opens a door in the spirit realm, which gives access to your adversary who hates your soul. So you want to win this battle, you got to know some truth. Let me go to the Bible real quick, back to Genesis. Because Genesis is the beginning of all of this. It's the beginning where sin and everything first started. So we're going to know how sin works and operates in the spirit and in our lives, and then how the enemy uses it. Then we got to go back to what's in the book. Go with me to Genesis chapter 4. And then I'm going to get back to Ephesians. So I'm going to cross-reference all this with the Old Testament, because a lot of people think that, well, the Old Testament is not useful because we're in the New Testament. We are the New Testament. But all Scripture came from God and is useful for doctrine, reproof, correction, that the man of God may be perfect. So God wants us to be perfect. He's going to correct us and teach us his doctrine through the Word. That's all Scripture, but it's got to be divided rightly. Watch this. So when you go to Genesis chapter 4, I'm going to read the story about Cain and Abel. I'm not going to read the whole story. You can read that on your own time. But we know Cain offered God something, and God rejected him and his offering. But his brother Abel offered God something, and God had respect unto Abel and to his offering. And Cain got upset and wanted to kill his brother about it. But God already saw the spirit of murder. There was a spirit of murder that was trying to enter the earth through Cain. And God began to talk to this man. They didn't have no Bible to look at this time. We do, so we have no excuse not to study. But at that time, there was no Bible, but he yet heard God speaking to him. He yet heard God speaking to him before his sin act and after it. That's how powerful God is. He will speak to you. Even though you done did wrong, he'll still speak to you. But he's not going to lie to you. He going to tell you the truth the whole way through. That's why the preachers can't lie to you. We just got to tell you what he's saying, whether you receive it or you get mad at us or not. Watch this. Verse number 5 said, Cain, and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth. That means he was mad. He was angry. He was pissed off, as we would say it. He was angry. Watch this. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell, his face. His face just, you could look at him and tell something was wrong. And God's looking at him, and God's going to correct him. So some things, you can see it all over a person. You can tell when you pay attention, you can tell when a person's got that spirit of hatred or that murdering spirit in their heart, because it'll show on their face. It says his countenance fell. That means his face was all sad. Why are you looking silly? Fix your face. That's what God was getting ready, you know, basically telling him. And it said, and the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? What you mad for? Why is thy countenance fallen? Why are you looking like that? Fix your face. God's correcting him. I'm just bringing it to modern day English terms. So God's correcting this man. He says, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. Notice what God is talking to this man about. He's talking to him about what he do, what you do, if you do well. Now, there was no law. Moses hadn't been born to present the law to the people to tell them thou shalt not and thou shalt not kill and all that stuff. But God yet talking to him. So that meant God's requirements was the same even before the stone tablets and the Ten Commandments. God's requirements of righteousness was still in the earth previous to the law, which is how it is by the Spirit now, although, you know, we enter in through Jesus Christ. The reason we have Jesus Christ, because he fulfilled all of the sacrifices of the law. He fulfilled all of the the duties of the priest in the Old Testament that was outlined in the law. He fulfilled all of that stuff in the law for us that we could have continued access to the Spirit of God, even though we may have more sins than these people back here. Because sin is like planting a seed. When you plant a seed, something grows and it produces more and more of itself. That's why I said the lies perpetuate more lies. The truth perpetuates more truth. Watch this, though. So Cain is upset, and God's talking to him about what he needs to do. He says, if thou doest well, he left it up to him. If, so it's up to us. What we do matters. He says, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? That's a question mark. Will I not accept you if you do good? So God accepts well-doing. Don't let nobody tell you what you do don't matter. It do matter. Now, if you haven't accepted God's sacrifice to bring you out of sin, which is Jesus, then in that point, your doing is in vain because you're saying to God, I can do it without him. No, you can't. But once you come in through him and you're a son, you know God, you're born again, then he's talking to you. He's saying what you do matters. Even if thou doest well, will you not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. Watch this. He told him sin is waiting. It's waiting on you. It's laying at the door. It's right at the door of your heart waiting for entry because it wants to do something. He says, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. So God's telling him, you got to do what's right, or else you're going to let something in that you're going to now have to learn how to control afterwards. Because now it's going to try to control you, and you're going to have to master it. You're going to have to strive for masteries. Watch this. But he's telling Cain, and we know the story. It says later on, Cain rose up and killed his brother, and God judged him for it. We know. So I'm not going to read the rest of it. But notice what God is telling this man. He's talking about his doings. He says, if you do well, you will be accepted. And if not, sin is at the door. Sin is laying at the door of your heart. Notice, when he finally yielded and gave himself into doing the wrong thing, if you read the rest of that story on your free time, you'll see these things are true. After Cain killed Abel, he begins to tell God, he says, anybody that sees me will desire to kill me. And God says, if they do, I will avenge them seven times. Notice something. Why does he feel that somebody's going to want to kill him? Because murder begets murder. Sin begets sin. Evil begets evil. Lies beget more lies. This is why we got to keep the truth. Well, God gave that man the truth. He gave him the truth. He says, if you do well. But he went the opposite direction. And all of a sudden, he has an instant knowing, being the first person to ever commit murder. Nobody else had ever killed nobody on earth. Yet, something in his mind says, I know somebody's going to want to kill me now. Where did that come from? The Bible calls it blood guilt. Did you not know there's a thing called blood guiltiness? Because blood has a spirit in it. When you shed a man's blood, it's going to talk to its maker about you. Somebody don't believe that. It's Bible. The blood speaks. Jesus' blood cries for mercy. But every other blood, it says, God, they shed me. I'm dead because of them. So even if the forensics can't find who killed you, the Holy Ghost knows every crime that seems to go unsolved on earth is solved in the spirit realm because the Holy Spirit is examining what the blood is saying. Souls speak to God. The Bible speaks in Revelation about the souls that were under the altar, those who were killed for their witness. They died for being believers, and it says their souls were crying out to God about the people on earth that killed them. So souls and blood speaks to God. It's called blood guilt. When Cain killed Abel, he began to have that blood guiltiness in his conscience. Now all of a sudden he think everybody want to kill him. Well, because you released a spirit into the earth. There was something lying at the door. You are a door. When you yield to sin, then you open a door for something to come into the earth to control you and to control other people because you have now let this spirit that had no legal access in the earth, you've now let it into another world that is not really legal to operate in. Watch this. It might be a little deep, and some may not comprehend it, but your spirit man will catch it for those that are younger in the Lord. But for the more mature saints, you get this. Hallelujah. Watch this. So we're talking about doors and access points. The reason you have to have on the breastplate of righteousness and do what is right, what God told him, do what is well, you'll be accepted. The reason for that is because you're keeping the door closed and you're keeping it koroshanda. You're keeping it, hallelujah. What's on the other side of that door, you're keeping it on the other side of that door. But when you yield your members to uncleanness, unrighteous deeds, now you're opening a door. Something comes through that door. You got to, what did he tell Cain? Now he says, your desire will be to it, but you got to rule over it. This means now you're going to have to wrestle. Oh, understand, you're going to have to fight. Now, imagine all the sin that has taken place in the world since that man's first act of murder, the first rape that took place in history, the first lie that took place in history, the first theft, the first robbery. So now you got all these different evils that are coming forth. And the Bible says in the last days in Romans 1 and 30, it says men will be inventors of evil things. So now you got more and more evil being invented, new stuff. Now, I know we say nothing is new under the sun, and we think that means there's nothing new, as in how we attribute to the word new. But understand, that means God already seen it. It don't mean it's not new to you and me, because we don't know everything. We're not all-knowing. But God is an all-knowing being. So he sees new everything. He says, under heaven, there's nothing new. Under heaven. So it's not new because all under God. God's seen it all. But to you and me, the next generation that has some stuff to deal with that we didn't deal with. Look at the world today. Look at all the evils today. So now we got to know how to deal with it. We got to upgrade our technology in the spirit. See, we want to deal with yesterday's revelation, which fought yesterday's demons, but these demons are multiplying. And we got to know how to have victory over them. Yes, it's in the blood. It's through the blood. But the Bible says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and through the word of their testimony. And they loved not their life even unto death. So that means we got to come out of the world, and we got to get into the spirit and know what to do. Watch this. Now, I said everybody's not a soldier, at least not yet, but there's a day coming called the day of evil, and you're going to have to know how to stand and fight your own battle, because we all got something to deal with in our bloodline, if nothing else. You might not have done something to open the door. Your grandmama might have opened the door. Your great-granddaddy might have opened the door. There are such things as generational curses. I'm not cursing nobody. I'm telling you what's truth. There are such things as, somebody said, well, Jesus took all the curses on the cross. He said he freed us from the curses of the law. He did. He said he freed us from the curse of sin and death. He did. But how many sins have you committed? How many doors have you opened since you've been so-called under the blood? How many things have you released that now we got to contend with? Watch this. He says, put on the breastplate of righteousness. So righteousness covers you. It covers you from allowing certain things in. And he says, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. This is why we keep preaching the gospel of Jesus. He's Lord. He's the only way to the Father. Nobody's denying that. But then there's a time where after you've been saved, you got to begin to learn of him. There's after, I'm talking to saved people. This Bible, all this New Testament wasn't written to the unbelievers. So all the stuff that's in it, he's not talking to unbelievers. He's talking to them that's already established in the fact that I couldn't have came to God on my own. We already established in the fact that I had to repent and receive Jesus as my Lord. That we already established in that. We're not going to keep laying the foundation, but we move on to be perfected. That's why God give us certain gifts in the ministry to perfect us. He says, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That gospel gives you peace. Peace in your mind, peace in your spirit. But then he says, above all, taking the shield of faith. I could go on for days about that one, but I'm not. The shield of faith. You got to stay in the faith. You got to stay in belief, constant belief, because that's the thing the enemy is after. He's after the truth, and he's after your faith. So he's going to use whatever he can to get your guard down, to get to you, to get to your faith, so that he can cause you to come into agreement with anything he's trying to bring that's on the other side of the door. Watch this. He says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. This right here ought to catch somebody's attention. He did not set all the fiery darts of the devil. So the darts that are coming against you are of the wicked. What are the wicked? Who are the wicked? The people. The people who are in agreement with the wicked one, the devil. The people who are walking after the flesh. The people who will put their mouth against leadership. The people who will put their mouth against the anointing, the anointed ones. The people that think they know the truth and they'll fight everything God is delivering. They're wicked people. That's where the warfare, a lot of the warfare is coming from, is people. They will say things, and now you got to contend with the spirit that is loosed into the earth by the words that they spoke when they spoke evil. I'm going to show this to you in the scripture here in a minute. I'm going to go to another place. When you open your mouth and you speak the wrong thing and you say something, then you open a door. I just did a teaching of 20 minutes about doors so you would understand this. When you open your mouth, then your mouth becomes a weapon. Your mouth becomes a weapon, and now there's a door that has released a spirit that is now trying to overtake either yourself or someone that you put your mouth against. That's why slander is witchcraft. That's why gossip and witchcraft is all tied together. In the next couple of weeks, we're going to deal with all of that stuff, because the Bible is written for saints, because a lot of stuff we do ignorantly. We do it ignorantly, not knowing the spiritual ramifications. But when you understand what's really going on in the realm that you cannot see, then it changes your perspective on why and how you do certain things. Watch this. So he says the shield of faith will quench all those darts. Sometimes our faith is we get in a place where our faith is weak. We get in a place where we just not paying attention. We're not focused, and we just, you know, relax. And all of a sudden, we can't understand why it's like this. And I can't understand why I feel like this. Well, you got to pay attention to them darts that's coming at you, the fiery darts. That means this stuff is designed to destroy you. But watch this. Watch this. In the Old Testament, there was a prophecy given, Isaiah 54:17. I'm not going to read it. I'm just going to tell you what it says. Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. For this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. For their righteousness is of me, saith God. Watch this. So God gives you his righteousness. You cover. But he says, he tells you what you got to do right before that. He says, no weapon formed against thee shall prosper. The weapon can be words, can be fiery darts, the words of the wicked. He says, listen, no weapon formed against thee shall prosper. Every tongue that rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. You got to condemn it. You got to condemn. If somebody's speaking words against you to make you disbelieve who you are in God, or whatever they're trying to make you disbelieve what God has told you he's going to do for you, what the word of God has revealed to you, if they're speaking evil, he says, you got to condemn that tongue, because that tongue can be a weapon formed against you, or it can be used to form weapons. People can say things. They can pray against you and chant. Why do you think witches deal with spells? They got to use words. So they got to spell it out and say chants and incantations in order for their stuff to operate. I ain't going to say to work, because he said it's not going to prosper, but in order for it to operate. But just because it won't prosper don't mean you don't have to deal with it. This is real stuff that's going on. The spirit realm is real. Watch this. Watch this. Let me find this little scripture here in the New Testament. So what God is wanting to do is to teach us how to fight, teach us how to defend ourselves first. First thing he dealt with is the armor, putting it on. Then he's going to deal with the weapons later, and that's going to be next week, because I'm running out of time here. But we're going to deal with the weapons next week. So he said, take the shield of faith to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. Isaiah 54:17 is a scripture that you got to lean hard on in this season, because people will speak according to their own understanding. And if their understanding is flawed and they speaking about you or to you, then what does that put them? They're throwing darts and don't know it. So you got to have that shield of faith. You got to cover yourself. You got to have the word of God to fight this stuff off. You got to have the word of God, because your faith is based on the word of God. Now, verse 17 says, and take the helmet of salvation. Don't let nobody tell you you're not saved. If you have received Jesus as your Lord, you truly received him as Lord. You've truly repented of your sins. You truly know him in your heart and you received him. Then don't let nobody take it from you telling you, well, you didn't get baptized the way we baptized over here, so you ain't saved. See, a whole lot of folk getting caught up in that craziness. The Spirit is the one that bears witness of all truth. The Spirit. Not how your pastor baptizes or understands the scriptures. Because one scripture says Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Another says in the name of Jesus. And folk fighting over, well, we baptize in the name of Jesus over here, and y'all say Father, Son, and Holy Ghost over there, so y'all ain't saved. Maybe if the Holy Ghost approves an individual, they saved. I don't care how you try to use the word that you know against their salvation. Somebody needs to hear that. Listen, watch this. You keep the church doctrine all you want. I'm going to preach by the Holy Spirit. Watch this. He says the helmet of salvation. This is protecting your mind. Because once you begin to not be saved or not sure you saved, then the devil said, I got access to your mind. You open the door. So you got to have the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. It's not our sword. That word spirit here is capitalized because he's not talking about your human spirit. You can't handle it. That sword's too heavy. It's too big. You don't know what you're doing. You don't know how to wield this sword, but the Holy Ghost do. So that's the sword of the Spirit. He knows how to take that word and chop and cut down anything coming against you. So now you not only have on the armor, you got the shield, but now you got something to fight back with. We're not going to deal with the weapons today that we use to defend ourselves, because that's going to be next week. But I do want to deal with one more thing here. One more thing. Hallelujah. So Peter, 1 Peter 5 and 8 says, be sober. Hallelujah. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. We got to resist the devil. Resist the devil. That sounds like contending. That's wrestling. That's warfare. That means this is real. This is New Testament. After Jesus has suffered, died, and resurrected with all power, we still told that we got to deal with the devil. He says, your adversary. He's your adversary. The devil is as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. He's not caged up. He's not somewhere in a pit. He's not somebody that's just standing under the feet of Jesus. Although Jesus has power and authority over him, he's yet walking around trying to devour us. And we're told that we got to be sober and vigilant to resist this devil. So that means this thing is real. God defeated the devil, but he didn't destroy him. He leaves him around on purpose. On purpose. For a purpose. And God allows him to be here for our learning. Because we got to learn how to fight. 2 Timothy 2 and 3 says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. If warfare has broken out in your life, if you've been in spiritual warfare, the devil, you feel something trying to come upon you when you're sleeping at night and you can't sleep well and you're afraid. First of all, you got to get rid of fear and know there's power in the name of Jesus. Call that name when you feel them dark spirits come upon you. When you all of a sudden it feels like something's trying to take you into a place of insanity and you fighting to keep your mind, then you got to know there's power in the word of God. There's power in the name of Jesus. But if these things are happening to you and all of a sudden warfare is going on in your life and you don't understand it, then this is what you need to know, that God is now enlisting you as a soldier. And he's now allowing this devil to come at you because he's just training you. He's teaching you. He's teaching you to fight and to do warfare. Because you're going to have to overcome. Jesus has already overcome the world. He's already overcame. He's already did his part. But the Bible says, Jesus speaks to his churches and says, he who overcomes. So all the promises is based on your overcoming. All the promises of God in Revelation for the churches is based on our overcoming. Hallelujah. We've got to overcome this evil one. And the word shows you how to do it. The word of God shows you how to do it. The word of God. Hallelujah. There's so much more I wanted to say and to teach on. I wanted to get into the power part of this, but I couldn't do it because I got to flow in what he gives me. But understand that God's word brings power. There's power in the word of God. There's power through the spirit of God. And we can cast down and cast out and remove the authority of the enemy when we walk in his ways, in God's ways. When we walk in his word, in God's word. Hallelujah. Then we have victory. We have victory in the name of Jesus. If you don't know nothing else at this point, know that you got to call on his name. Keep your faith in his name, if nothing else. But you got to understand why things are happening. The devil is looking for access. Listen to me real good, and I'm done. When I say the devil, I don't mean Satan himself all the time. There's numerous evil spirits out there. Okay, there's all types of evil. Adam and Eve opened the human race up to the knowledge of good and evil. So now we've got to understand some things. God said, be wise as serpents. That means we got to know what's the difference between good and evil. Because listen, evil will come at you dressed up as good. And often we're not discerning because we don't have enough word. We can't be spiritually lazy and not study the word, because the word will help you discern the difference between good and evil, so that you're not opening doors and access to things that want access to your life and other people's lives. You'll be able to keep the door closed. You'll be able to resist the devil. You'll be able to stand fast against him and resist him. The more you resist him, then the less power and authority he has. Watch this, because he's a spirit. He lives in the realm of spirit. You're a spirit also. Human beings are spirits. But we live in a natural world with a natural body. So spirits really are illegal here. They don't have bodies for this place. They're disembodied. They don't have a human body form. This is why they got to cast devils out of people. This is why the devil's asked to go inside of the pigs when Jesus cast them out of the man, because they need a body to stay in this realm called earth, to do the evil that they already are in the spirit realm. They need a body to do it through. So what we have to do is resist the devil, not give him access to any of this realm of the earth, especially not to our bodies. We don't want to give our bodies over to uncleanness. So this is why the preachers tell you live holy, so you can maintain salvation. You obtain it through Jesus, but you maintain it through your righteous works. You maintain it through doing the right thing. Don't let nobody tell you nothing otherwise. How do we do the right things? Keep your eye on Jesus. Keep your mind on him. Sing praises. Sing unto the Lord. Bless the Lord. Pray unto the Lord. Fast and pray. Eat the word of God. Keep eating the word of God, because it's going to give you a righteous mindset. Hallelujah. That the doors will stay closed. Do not grant access to what's already illegal, because that just makes your struggles harder. To God be the praise. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord God, we thank you for your truth. Lord God, I pray as I have ministered your word that the Holy Spirit does not stop ministering, but as I silence, you will continue to open more and more understanding of these things, Lord God, and you will open our minds to your word and share light to us, Lord God, and you will teach us how to resist the devil. And it first starts with submitting to you, God. As we submit more of ourselves to you, then there's less access to us that the devil has, Lord God. As we begin to give you our yes, Lord God, as we begin to give our yes to Jesus, that he will be able to live his life through our bodies and through our lives, as we begin to say yes to that, Lord God, we will see less of the devil's activity, and we will see victory. We will see grace and power as we speak, Lord God. You will give us favor in our words. Our words will carry weight in the spirit, Lord God. And things that we say will be done. We won't have such struggles, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord God. I thank you that you're releasing generational blessings, Lord God, that you're releasing bloodline blessings. You're releasing wisdom and knowledge, Lord God. You're releasing strategy, Lord God. You're releasing, Lord God, more power and authority to the ready hearts of the faithful in Christ Jesus to do your exploits. In Jesus' name I pray. Healing upon everyone listening. Blessing upon everyone listening, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
No, shall stand it against him. And he won't prosper, no, 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 no. It won't work. Say no, weapon. If I could get somebody to stand with me tonight and declare that no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. No weapon formed against your home. No weapon formed against your children. Say,
it won't work. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. It won't work. Because I know God will do what he said he would do. He
Thank you. now. Praise the Lord like you're crazy. Let me tell you why. Because see, while you clapping your hands and the devil is wreaking havoc in your home, this confuses the enemy. That's because you're not praising him because of what's going on. You praise him because you know the outcome is you win. You win because your heavenly Father is getting ready to jump up in this.
Know that you are loved, honored, and appreciated in Jesus' name. Thank you for joining us for our daily programming, and we sincerely thank you for your participation, prayers, and presence. If our ministries have been effective in blessing your growth in Christ, please join our covenant givers at Provoke2000Now.com to make all financial donations. Provoke2000Now.com. Again, we thank you for your willingness to covenant and to assist with the outreach ministry programs of the Now Network and P2P Ministries. With your help, we are able to respond and to meet the needs of the people and the communities that we serve. We pray that your life has been changed, rearranged, and transformed by the renewing of your mind. In Jesus' name.